Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Frank Isola joins me. A few days ago he was on, but we really didn't talk about the NBA playoffs. It was you, you know, spouting all sorts of garbage. But today we talk NBA playoffs. How are you, Frank?
Evan, what's up?
Ah, I'm in a great mood. The Mets are 11-1 and having fun. How about you?
It's amazing, right?
I
guess that's the expression. It's amazing, but good for them.
Yeah, I'm very happy. When you look at this postseason, I think it's very, very important we don't get Cavs Warriors 4 because I think there are a lot of casual NBA fans or people that don't like the NBA that always point at this league and say it's very predictable. And even though the Rockets have had a tremendous regular season, even though the Cavaliers played no defense and basically had to redo their team in the middle of the year, I think those out there still look at this as, well, it's inevitable. It's going to be Warriors. It's going to be Cavs. So I don't know about you. I think it's important that we don't see that just to prove to them that something unpredictable can actually happen in the NBA.
Yeah, but the casual fan also knows LeBron James and he knows the Warriors. He knows Steph Curry. He knows Kevin Durant. So I think the casual NBA fan, and it's been reflected in the ratings, wouldn't mind seeing that. From a basketball standpoint, I kind of agree with you. It seems like, you know, the balance of power, it's been LeBron in the East. And for the past, you know, 3-4 years, it's all been about Golden State. But if you get a Houston-Toronto final, you know, best teams in each conference record-wise, I don't know what the ratings would be like. I think it'd be great. I wouldn't mind it. I like, you know, the way Toronto plays. Obviously, James Harden probably going to be the MVP. But it's tough. It's like the one sport. I don't know. You tell me, how many baseball teams legitimately have a chance to win the World Series? It would seem like a lot. Because all you have to do is get in, and then you just get hot. I even think in the NFL, I kind of think there's like 6 to 8 teams that could win hockey. Basically, all 16 that make the playoffs could probably win it. You know, it seems to be the sport. Well, I don't know. When you look at the NBA Finals, is it really like who could win it? Cleveland, Golden State, and Houston? Maybe the 3 teams? That's all everybody seems to think.
No, I think that's the biggest problem. And it's amazing that even with that being the story of this league, this has been a great year for the league. I mean, the ratings have been up. The fan interest has been up. So even though we're in the height of predictability right now in this sport, people seem to still love consuming the NBA either way.
Yeah, and I think what helped certainly was Philadelphia playing the way that they played this year, winning 52 games, and you finally got to see Embiid stay healthy for most of the season. Ben Simmons played a lot. So that team is a fun team. Plus, Embiid has got kind of like a Shaquille O'Neal type of personality to him. You know, he's a larger-than-life kind of guy. He embraces how big he is, how funny he is. So he's added a lot. And Antetokounmpo having a great year. But doesn't it also speak to the idea, well, you have to have the Lakers and the Knicks. You have to, it's so much better when you have those two teams. I don't know. I thought the regular season was pretty good. And, you know, the one, to the NBA's credit, you know, you look at a market like Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook, and they're on TV all the time. So you have small market teams that have been successful. And then there's a story like, you know, the Utah Jazz, which I'm sure not a lot of people pay attention to, but they were 19-28. On January 22nd,
right,
and up until the last day of the season, Evan, they could have finished in third place. So they've been a good story as well. But to your point, I think the NBA had a tremendous regular season, and also look at what happened in the Western Conference. All those teams, kind of 4 through 8, played their way in.
Yeah,
you know, what nobody was backing into the playoffs. I think Washington's kind of like the one team this year where you don't really like the way that they finish, and you feel kind of badly for Denver. Because you feel like Denver deserves to be in the playoffs ahead of a team like Washington.
Let's start with Washington because talent-wise, based on what they've done the last few years, they're better than your average 8 seed. But everybody hates each other. That's problem number one. Gortat hates Wall, who hates Beal, who hates everybody. So no one likes each other. They kind of limped into the playoffs. The only thing that gives you hope is that the Raptors have so much pressure on them, not just to win this round, but actually get to an NBA Finals. And they've got this ungodly streak where, for some reason, they can't win game ones. Maybe it's the curse of Ujiri saying blank Brooklyn. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, you might be onto something. And the two teams split the season series, and John Wall didn't play in any of the games. So that's a good sign.
Do you get the sense that the Wizards, in ways, were better at times when Wall wasn't there?
Well, and it seems like the players, and you touched on it, you know, there was certainly an issue because after the first couple of games where John Wall was out with the knee injury, all the players were talking about everybody eats, which to me seemed like a little bit of a subtle shot at John Wall. And, you know, everybody talks about Harden and what he did last year in the second round against San Antonio. How about John Wall's second half against Boston in Game 7? You know, he had a terrible Game 7, especially in that second half. I just get the feeling that with Washington could definitely beat Toronto. I kind of hope Toronto does win. But you kind of get the feeling like two big names out there, Kawhi Leonard, who's not playing right now, and John Wall. You kind of get the feeling that, you know, both those guys could be on the move, even though John Wall's contract is ridiculous. I'm 3 years from now, I think he's making over $40 million a year. I don't know about if you're getting enough bang for your buck. But I think, especially if Washington flames out, I could see them trying to move John Wall. And Kawhi Leonard, that situation is completely bizarre.
To the Raptors, does it feel different? I mean, DeRozan had a better year. They've certainly played a different brand of basketball. They've come more into the modern age. And their bench is just ridiculous. I mean, you take your pick, whether it's Siakam or Van Fleet or DeLon Wright. I mean, they just keep coming at you. Does this feel different, this Raptor team, than past years?
It certainly does, but I still think what you said before, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them heading into the playoffs to do something. But I think there's also something to be said for kind of, you know, letting these teams marinate a little bit and you know, let them kind of work through their struggles. Just because you lose to LeBron James in an Eastern Conference final doesn't mean you're a terrible team. And I get it. They've had some disappointing results in the postseason. But, you know, a million years ago, the Utah Jazz had some disappointing results in the playoffs. And they kind of stuck with really their core group, and eventually they were rewarded. They went to back-to-back NBA finals. I think Portland's kind of going through the same thing. So everybody's always saying, oh, we've got to break it up. We've got to get rid of these guys. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I think a really good example would be a team like the Dallas Mavericks. When Nowitzki, they won over 60 games that 1 year. They finished first. Nowitzki was the MVP of the league, and they got knocked out the first round by Golden State. And I think, you know, a lot of teams would have said, oh, see, Nowitzki can't do it. He can't be that guy. It's time to break up the team. Well, Mark Cuban didn't do that. You know, they added some veteran players, and before you knew it, they're in the finals, and they beat Miami and won a championship. So I think there's nothing wrong with keeping a team together. Look at the teams that are always changing up, like the Knicks, for example. How's that doing? That doesn't always seem to work either.
I look at Philadelphia, and I'm not rooting against them by any stretch. They are a likable team. But there's a couple of reasons why I think Miami can win this series. Number one, the coaching. I mean, Eric Spoelstra is the most underrated coach in this league. You have the uncertainty about Joel Embiid. He's not going to play game one. He's putting that mask on. We'll see when he plays, how he plays with that mask. And also the inexperience that Philadelphia has. Do you feel the way I feel that Miami can win this series?
Oh, I definitely feel that way. And, you know, late in the game, you do have a closer in Dwayne Wade, who's clearly lost a lot. But, you know, he knows how to make plays late in the game. He knows how to draw fouls. He knows how to complain to the referee to draw fouls. You know, he has that experience, as does Eric Spoelstra. You know, I wonder if at some point in one of these games, and we've seen Ben Simmons, who's had an unbelievable season. He's a great player. Not great from the free throw line. You know, is there going to be a game late where maybe they're up one and he goes to the line and he misses both free throws, or they're trailing by 2 points, and he goes to the free throw line, and he misses one, or maybe misses both of them. So that could be big. But there's a lot of pressure on Philadelphia. I think if they had just made the playoffs this year, you would have looked at it as house money. But when you win 52 games, and now you're the third seed, so now you're favored, you have home court advantage, and you should win. So there's actually a little bit of pressure on them going into this. But I thought they did a good job adding Ilyasova, Bellinelli, J.J. Redick. So they have experienced players on that team.
They have experienced players, but now their key players don't have the experience.
No, Ben Simmons doesn't, but Redick does, Bellinelli does, Ilyasova, they play a lot. And it's funny, too, you mentioned the coaching, and you were right about our exposure. He's coached in 100, you know, millions of big games, including playoff games. If Brett Brown had been replaced before the season started and replaced by fill-in-the-blank, Mark Jackson, John Calipari, name any coach you wanted, and they had won 52 games, and they finished the season on a 16-game winning streak, would there be any doubt of the coach of the year? I mean, Brett Brown's not a big-time self-promoter. Not a lot of people talk about him. They mostly talk about his two stars that he has. But I think he's done a great job. And remember, Embiid went down, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, and hasn't played in a long time, and all they did was win. So Brett Brown, who comes from the Spurs, you know, he was on Greg Popovich's bench for a long time. So I don't think he gets enough credit for the great job that he's done.
No, he's done a fantastic job. He absolutely has. The Saric and Covington, guys like that. But you are right that they have at least guys that have experienced it with Belinelli and Ilyasova and obviously J.J. Redick.
And, Evan, you know what they did. Because Simmons, you know, I think he took 11 three-pointers this year, did not make one of them. Right. And probably, I'm sure a lot of those 11 were probably, you know, end of the quarter, end of the half feeds. Where, you know, that's just not part of his game right now. But you put enough shooting on the court in a very kind of LeBron James way. When the court is open like that, he can get to the basket. He is just a phenomenal, big, strong player.
Yeah, no, he really is. He's excellent. Does Indiana, and we're talking to Frank Isola, you think Indiana can at least scare Cleveland?
I think they can. You know, isn't it funny, though? Last year, it was the 2-7 matchup. They get rid of Paul George. They actually do better this season.
I know.
And that trade's a home run for Kevin Pritchard, getting Victor Oladipo and also Donatas Sabonis in the trade. And Sabonis has played really well. But Oladipo is the difference. Last year, game one, remember, it ended with C.J. Miles missing that jumper. And Paul George was all bent out of shape, as if Paul George has ever made a last-second shot in his life. Other than the Gatorade commercial, he's never made a last-second shot. I definitely think they can, because you talk about inexperience. Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance Jr., it's going to be the first time through it for them. Rodney Hood was in the playoffs last year, but they have a lot of young, inexperienced players. And LeBron, since 2010-11 season, when he went into the playoffs with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and he had Kyrie Irving, and I get it, Kevin Love, but he's had a clear, like, superstar second player. Kevin Love is an all-star. There's no doubt about that, but not at the caliber, in my opinion, of Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving.
And remember, Indiana with a couple of key former Nets in Thaddeus Young and Bogdanovich. So they're relying on the Net magic.
And isn't it amazing, like Lance Stephenson, you know, the kid from Brooklyn, there's only one team that he can play for.
Just them. That's it.
He can only play for Indiana.
I know.
You know, he was wacky when he was in Charlotte, the Clippers. Was he in Minnesota for like a minute or one of these teams? But he can play in Indiana. And come on, he's going to be blowing in LeBron's ear again like he did a couple of years. You know something's happening.
Probably.
At some point in the series.
Oh, absolutely.
Lance Stephenson and LeBron James. The answer, my friend, is blowing in his ear.
Yeah, clearly.
You could use that.
He got nothing.
I stole that from somebody. You could steal from me.
All right, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you allowing the stealing. The Spurs without Kawhi, and you mentioned what a weird situation, and then either the Portland Trail Blazers or the New Orleans Pelicans. Will the Warriors be, even without Steph, are the Warriors going to be tested in the first two rounds at all by one of those three teams?
Yeah, it'd be funny, right, if Kawhi Leonard just all of a sudden showed up. I think they'd have a much better chance. But the way that they finished at the end of the season, they did not play well. Durant was huge, but defensively, they were a disaster. They lost by 40 points on the road at Utah. You know, so they believe that they could flip the switch and everything will be okay. But defense has been a big issue for them. And Steph Curry, I think sometimes, even though he's been a two-time MVP, sometimes maybe we underrate his value to the team because he's a great shot maker. His ability to make three-pointers, that's a huge, huge player you're taking out of the lineup. I'll tell you what, for Kevin Durant, can you imagine if Curry doesn't play in this first round, which he's not expected to, and they were to get bounced out?
Mm.
That would, you know, not that it doesn't take away from Kevin Durant being a great player, but I do think, you know, that would be a big black mark on his career.
Huge. It would. But you know what? I mean, it happens. Like, look at Dallas when they got bounced out in the first round in that 1-8 matchup. Do you even think about that when you think of Dirk Nowitzki?
No, not even think about that. Except that Durant, it's just different because Durant went to Golden State, joined the super team, and he got exactly what he wanted out of it. He got a championship.
But he played really well in that NBA Finals, too. He was just riding everyone's coattails.
No. He was off the charts good in that. But I think when he went there, I think he was kind of surprised at how much people didn't like him anymore. They viewed him as a villain in a sports kind of sense. And I think he thought, well, wait till I win. Everybody will love me again. And that hasn't happened. So I think he realizes now that, you know what, trying to win it in Oklahoma City as opposed to winning it in Golden State, it has a different feeling. But, you know what, it's the media's fault. It's the fans' fault because now we just look at everybody, you're a loser unless you win a championship.
I don't know. That's what you do.
These guys start chasing championships all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know when that started. By the way, I'll give you something you could steal, all right? I want you to chew on this one. The San Antonio Spurs finished the regular season only one game better on the road than the Brooklyn Nets did on the road. How about that?
Yeah, and, you know, Greg Popovich, who we all know is a great coach, I think sometimes he could be a little – I think sometimes his act is a little thin, wears a little thin with the media, the way that he deals with the media. But it was like all season long, and, you know, Greg Popovich is great. You know, you want to talk about social issues, go right ahead. You want to talk about the president, criticize him, knock yourself out. But can we at least get Greg Popovich at some point to weigh in on his relationship with Kawhi Leonard and how wacky this thing is? You tell me the NBA team. If that was Carl Anthony Towns and Tom Thibodeau and he just left the team and only played in nine games, if that were LeBron James and Tyronn Lue, if that were Scott Brooks and John Wall, Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens, would those coaches be getting
Frank,
killed?
Like, what's the deal? You know what he is? He's Belichick. Has Belichick given a reason yet why he decided not to play one of his best defensive players in the Super Bowl? It's the same thing.
I get it, but this guy only played nine games. Here's the thing too about Kawhi Leonard. Go back and look at his games played prior to the season. I believe it's 74 or 76 games he's missed in his career prior to this year. So this year he missed, I'm so bad at math, 73 games. So over the course of his career, and he hasn't been in the league that long, he's missed almost the equivalent of two full NBA seasons.
Be interesting to see how teams approach this in free agency in another year. Real quick, because we got to go, give me the pick. What two teams are playing in the NBA Finals?
I'm going to pick Houston, and as much as it kills me because I want to see Toronto there, I still think it's so hard to see LeBron losing four times in seven games to any team in the Eastern Conference. But I think Houston this year, Harden is tremendous, Chris Paul. That'll be a fun series because Harden is a brilliant offensive player.
Oh, yeah.
And then you'll get LeBron, who's had this unbelievable year. Career high rebounds, assists for LeBron James. So he's drinking the right kind of water in Cleveland. That's
clearly
for sure.
Clearly. Frank, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Having you there, man. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Frank Isola. Talking NBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.